If you would, please turn in your copy of God's Word to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We'll be taking a look at verses 19 through 20. If you turn there, I will lead us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the rain, as has already been mentioned. We thank you for bringing us here this morning that we might gather, that we might praise your holy name in song, that we might lift up our praises and our petitions to you in prayer, and that we might receive your holy and your perfect word. We pray that you would bless our time in your word this morning, that your Spirit would go out and apply your word to our minds and to our hearts, that you would use this time to make those of us who have trusted in Christ more and more like him. We do lift up those who are with us this morning who have not yet trusted in Christ. We pray that you would use our gathering this morning to plant seeds and water them, and that you would bring forth growth, and that they would come to know your Son Jesus and know his salvation. We pray all these things in his name. Amen. As you're able, please stand in the reading of, in the honor of reading and hearing God's word, James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. James writes, "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." May God bless the reading and hearing of his word. You may be seated. You've probably heard before a saying, or rather heard read in the scriptures, where Cain asked God a question. God asked Cain where Abel is. Where did Abel go? Where is your brother? And Cain asked, "Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper?" Now, the answer to that question for the Christian, "Am I my brother's keeper?" is yes. Believer, you are your brother's keeper. You are your sister's creeper, or keeper. Wow. Can't get much worse than that to start off, can you? We're going to pretend that did not happen.
That's online.
It is online. Oh, man. Where do you go from there? Well, anyways, moving right along, the scriptures teach us that we are to be keepers of one another, that we have responsibility for each other. And when I say you, of course, I'm referring to Christians. When I say you are your brother's keeper, I mean believers. And when I say keeper, I mean you are someone who is responsible for them. One pastor and theologian once wrote these words. He says, "We must therefore take heed lest souls perish through our sloth, whose salvation God puts in a manner in our hands. Not that we can bestow salvation on them, but that God by our ministry saves those who seem otherwise to be near destruction." He warns us that we should be careful that it would not be our sloth that allows fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who wander from the truth of the gospel, who wander into lives of unrepentant sin, that we must make sure it's not our sloth that keeps them on that trajectory. In other words, we are our brother's keeper. And James deals with the following reality in this passage, and that is this. This side of glory, Christians can stumble into sin and even wander from the truth of the gospel. How should we respond when fellow church members do so? How should we respond when fellow professing Christians either wander from their faith that they have professed, either in just renouncing it altogether, renouncing a truth of the scriptures or something of that nature, or by their lifestyle, if they are walking in unrepentant sin, how should we respond to that? Because it not only can happen, it most likely will happen. So how do we respond? And James's answer, and the big idea this morning, is confront the backslider. Confront the backslider. In our time this morning, we will consider this big idea as well as three reasons that we find within these two verses. So number one, confront the backslider because of the possibility of relapsing. Confront the backslider because of the possibility of backsliding. Read the first half of verse 19 with me. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth. James starts by appealing to his audience as my brothers. He has done this throughout the book, and by doing so, he is acknowledging that he and them have a type of family relationship. That in Christ, they are brothers. They are sisters with him. That in Christ, they are a family. They are as close to him as kin because of their shared faith in Jesus. And after this family appeal, James presents the possibility of two events. And in the verse I just read, he says the first one. He says, if anyone among you wanders from the truth. That is, the possibility that James mentions is that there is one from among those who he calls brothers who could wander away from the truth. A professing Christian can wander, backslide, and sin. When James says the truth that they wander from, it is the same word of truth that he speaks of earlier in the book. It is the gospel of our salvation. They can wander from the gospel as well as all the effects that the gospel is to have in their life, including lives of holiness. They can wander from Christ by either rejecting his salvation in word or thought, or by rejecting his lordship in their deeds. In summary, it is possible for any professing believer to reject the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ or rebel against his commands in their words or their deeds. That's what James says here. If anyone among you wanders. Now the Lord Jesus speaks of a flock of sheep where one wanders from the 99. We have this picture that Jesus gives. You have a flock of 100 sheep, and one of them wanders off from the flock. And as sheep sometimes wander from their flock, so also do professing Christians wander from the visible church through unrepentant sin. Now, in light of this, Christian, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to reckon with this possibility. That those in this room with you can stumble and fall. That not one of us this side of glory is perfect. That we are all on a journey towards progressive holiness, but not one of us has yet arrived. And there is the real possibility that one in this room will stumble and fall even greatly into unrepentant sin. You need to reckon with that. Not only do you need to reckon with the fact that someone else could stumble and fall, you also need to reckon with the fact that you also could stumble and fall. You could be the one that James is talking about here that wanders from the truth. That potential is there. It is a possibility. Sin and temptation attacks each and every one of us. And that should put us all on guard. On guard over our own hearts, on guard over our own lives, but also it should make us diligent to care for and to encourage one another. Because living in a fallen world, where temptation is around every corner, where sin so easily can entangle us, we need all the help we can get. And God in His grace has provided us, not only Himself, but He has also provided us with one another. And one way, one very practical way we can respond to this reality is to constantly pray for each other. Pray for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for their walk with the Lord Jesus. It is wonderful to pray for people's physical needs and their physical health and all the things of that nature, all that's going on in their life, but make sure that you never skip praying for their souls. Praying for their holiness. Praying that God would guard them from temptation. Praying that God would help them to walk in holiness. Praying that God would grow them in the knowledge of Christ and protect them from the temptations of the enemy. And church, what I've said of the individual Christian also applies to us as an entire congregation. Some who are members of our church can fall into serious sin. Some who are members of our church can backslide, even for a long period of time. And we should not be completely caught off guard, completely unaware of that possibility. That doesn't mean it won't break our hearts. It most certainly should. But we should be aware that it is a possibility, and we should be prepared when that possibility becomes actuality. Indeed, some even right now as I'm speaking may have hidden sin in their lives. Hidden, unrepentant sin in their lives that one day God says, all things done in darkness will come to the light. And we as a church must be ready for when that happens and respond accordingly. And finally, let me speak to those of you who may be the kind of person that I've been talking about who has a hidden sin in their life. A hidden, unrepentant, high-handed, rebellious sin against God. I'm not saying you're struggling with, I'm not talking to the people who are struggling with sin and trying to overcome it. I'm talking to the ones who are keeping their sin a secret because they delight in it. You are a hypocrite. You profess Christ with your mouth, but you walk as His enemy in secret. My encouragement to you is to repent of your sin. Bring it into the light. Confess it to God, and if you have sinned against someone else, confess it to them and seek their forgiveness. Do not walk in darkness. James teaches us that true and real saving faith will have works that flow from it that accord with godliness. There is such a faith that demons have, that they believe all the truths of the Scripture. They know who Jesus is, but they continue to walk in rebellion. My encouragement to you is do not have the faith of demons. Trust in Christ and follow Him all your life. Indeed, confront the backslider because of the possibility of relapsing. Number two, confront the backslider because of the potential of restoration. Because of the potential of restoration. Look at the second half of verse 19. And someone brings him back. And someone brings him back. In addition to the possibility of some wandering from the truth, there is the potential that someone can bring them back to the truth. That's what James is getting at. Just as it is possible that anyone among the congregation that he's writing to can wander, can backslide, can fall into rebellion, there is just as much of a potential that someone else from among the congregation can go and bring them back, restore them to their former way of life. Now, James does not go into great detail in how this is accomplished. But elsewhere in Scripture, we get clues on how we are to go about this work of bringing someone back who has wandered from the truth. And I'll give you four examples. To begin with, consider what Paul commands Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Just listen to these words. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Timothy is to reprove those in error, rebuke those in sin, and exhort all to believe the truth and live according to it. Also observe what Paul says in Titus 2:15. He writes, "Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you." Paul tells Titus earlier to teach in accord with sound doctrine, which is the same as the truth or the word of truth that James mentions. On the basis of this sound doctrine, Paul encourages Titus to exhort his congregation to believe the truth and do what is right. He also is commanded to rebuke with all authority those who sin in matters of belief or obedience. Or ponder what Jude says in verses 22 and 23 of his book. "And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." Jude encourages Christians to show mercy to those who doubt and to those who struggle against sin, while also snatching some out of the fire. And finally, consider the most lengthy passage on this subject from the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. Jesus says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Here, Jesus uses sin that is committed between two people as an example of how we as his people are to deal with those who sin against us or sin in general. Now, sin, as defined by Scripture and not personal preference, must be confronted in humility and love, and it must have as its goal a restored relationship. Jesus, like James, teaches that both relapsing into sin and restoration from sin are possible. But he goes further to show how this is done. In order for restoration to happen, it requires confrontation, repentance, and forgiveness. According to both James and Jesus, restoration is only a potential event. It is dependent upon fellow Christians confronting the backslider repenting of their sin, and the Christians or the church forgiving the backslider. These are the means that God uses to restore the one who wanders from the truth. Without confrontation, repentance, or forgiveness, restoration will not happen. And sin will take hold in the life of the backslider, and it will harm the witness of the congregation that they are a part of. One other note on this verse. Notice how James does not limit this work of confrontation to the pastors, like he did in verse 14, talking about when the sick person comes to pray, or when the pastors are invited to come and pray over the person who is sick. He does not do that here. He says, anyone from among you, if anyone from among you brings him back. This work of confrontation is a work for each and every individual member of the church. In other words, you are your brother's keeper. When Jesus speaks of the one sheep who wanders from the rest of the flock, he also speaks of the shepherd. And Jesus asked if the shepherd would leave the 99 to go and get the one who wandered away. The answer is yes, he would. Jesus is the great and good shepherd of his people. He is the one who goes after the one who wanders away and brings him back on his shoulder. If he goes after those who wander, should we who follow him not also do the same? The means that Jesus uses, the tools that Jesus uses to bring wanderers back into the fold who have left the fold is us. We should follow our Lord's example and go after the one who wanders from the truth. Believer, there is a temptation to let sin fester. Our day is a day that is filled with platitudes like, live and let live. You do you and I'll do me. Or no one can judge me. It seems easier when sin arises to sweep it under the rug. For the fear of rocking the boat, avoiding doing hard things like confronting, or we avoid doing hard things like confronting the backslider. However, to refuse to confront unrepentant sin and the backslider is not of Christ. It is of the world. It is not loving, nor is it brave to do so. Therefore, if you know that one of your fellow brothers or sisters in Christ is walking in unrepentant sin, confront them in love and encourage them to repent. If they sin against you, go and speak to them in private first. Follow the other steps that Jesus mentions as needed. Furthermore, also, believer, invite your brothers or sisters in Christ to confront you if they see you walking in unrepentant sin. Do not be arrogant. Do not think that you are above the criticism of others. When your sin is made known to you from another brother or sister in Christ, rather than growing hostile, repent and be grateful that they would love you so much to confront you. Pastor Chris, what I have said of our church members is true of us too. We must be courageous to confront the sins that arise within our flock. And also, we must be humble enough to repent when someone points out our own sinful shortcomings. Church, removing someone from church membership is not easy. It's exhausting, it's sad, it's infuriating, it's heartbreaking. Yet, there are certain circumstances where it is the only right course of action. when a sinner has been confronted, when their sin has been made plain to them and evident, when they have been confronted in private, confronted again, confronted by the whole church and encouraged to repent, have been offered forgiveness if they do, and yet continue to refuse. In those moments, we are to obey Jesus even when it's hard. All of God's word is breathed out by the Holy Spirit and profitable, including Matthew chapter 18. Let us be sure that we are willing and ready to follow what Jesus says when it is hard. But on the flip side, let us also be quick to forgive the one who does repent. Sometimes they won't, but sometimes they will. Sometimes the sin that they will commit caused a lot of problems, a lot of heartache, a lot of hurt. It will be hard to forgive them when they repent. But we must do so. We must be a place where people can confess their sins and be forgiven. That is the kind of church that God has called us to be. We are called indeed to walk in holiness, but we are also called to show grace to the sinner who repents, even when the sinner has hurt you personally. Be ready and be quick to repent, or rather to forgive. And if you are the sinner, if you are the backslider, be ready and quick to repent. Yes, confront the backslider because of the possibility of relapsing and the potential of restoration. Number three, confront the backslider because of the promise of redemption. Because of the promise of redemption. Follow along with me in verse 20. Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. James here commands the congregation to encourage the one who has recovered the backslider with the truth that God has used them to save the backslider's soul, and that his or her act has covered and will cover a multitude of sins. That last phrase is an echo of Proverbs 10, verse 12, which says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses." Peter says something similar in 1 Peter 4:8, where he writes these words, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." Love that covers a multitude of sins is a love that confronts the backslider with the goal of restoring them to right relationship with God and his people. It is true that God alone saves souls, but he uses his people to accomplish that blessed act of saving souls. The salvation that God accomplishes not only includes us being declared righteous before God, but it also includes us being progressively made into the image of our God. And God uses his people to help one another grow in our knowledge of Christ and grow in Jesus' likeness. When confrontation goes well, when a brother or sister is brought back from their wandering, we must heed the words of the Lord Jesus. This comes immediately after Jesus talks about confronting a brother who has sinned against you. In Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22, it says this, "Then Peter came up to him and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?'" Now mind you, Peter thought that was a lot. And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. And of course, Jesus is not literally saying that you only need to forgive your brother who repents 77 times. He is saying as often as your brother repents, you are to be willing to extend forgiveness to them. Individual Christians are to watch over one another and encourage one another to walk in holiness. This work, as I said earlier, it requires confrontation. It requires repentance, and it requires forgiveness. To sum it up, God uses his people to build up one another and to work out their salvation in Christ. Again, Jesus in the parable of the wandering sheep asks if the shepherd rejoices over the sheep that he has brought back. The answer is yes. The shepherd rejoices. So also should we who follow the great shepherd. When someone returns from their wandering, we must not continue to hold their sin against them. We must instead rejoice that our family member who was once lost is found yet again. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I encourage you to be quick to forgive the backslider who repents. I encourage you to present the gospel to them that profess to believe it. I encourage you to treat them as Jesus treats every sinner who repents and comes to him. This is the love that covers a multitude of sins and that God uses to save the souls of wayward sinners. We must confront the backslider humbly and forgive them swiftly when they repent. Both actions must be taken. Believer, I ask you, are any of you withholding forgiveness from a backslider who has repented? Have any of you who have been sinned against made up your mind to never forgive the person who sinned against you? Are you better than Christ, who forgives you of every one of your sins? And believe me, the sins you have committed against Christ are greater in number and greater in magnitude than any sin that anyone has ever or will ever commit against you. Therefore, repent of your unforgiving spirit. Extend forgiveness to the sinner who repents. And if a sinner refuses to repent, leave them in the hands of God and be willing to extend forgiveness to them at the first sign of them repenting. Church, let us be a place that rightly understands the law and gospel. Let us encourage one another to live rightly before our God in gratitude for all the things that he has done for us in his Son Jesus. But also let us be willing to confront the sinner. And let us also be willing to forgive the one who repents. Not only willing to do it, but eager to do it. Dearly beloved, we are all in this together. We were never meant to walk the Christian life alone. When God saved you, he did save you individually, but he brought you in to his family. You are one of his beloved children, and if you are united to Christ, you are a brother or sister with all others who are united to Christ. To all of you, redemption is promised to every sinner who repents, to every sinner who trusts in the Lord Jesus. It is promised to the degenerate unbeliever if they trust in Christ and repent of sin. It is promised to the backslidden hypocrite if they trust in Christ and repent of sin. It is promised to the Christian who is striving every day to follow after Jesus if they continue to trust in Christ and repent of sin. Confront the backslider because of the possibility of relapsing, the potential of restoration, and the promise of redemption. James has dealt with the following reality. It is possible for professing Christians to wander from the truth. How should we do so, or how should we respond when a fellow brother and brother or sister in our church does so? We must confront the backslider. That's what James teaches. That's what Jesus teaches. That's what the whole of Scripture teaches. We must confront the backslider because of the possibility of relapsing, because of the potential of restoration, and because of the promise of redemption. As Calvin, the theologian I quoted earlier, writes, "We must therefore take heed lest souls perish through our sloth, whose salvation God puts in a manner in our hands. Thus I charge us to confront the backslider." Christian, if you know someone is in sin, do not let them walk in it unchallenged. Because you loved them, go to them. Before you go to them, you should be praying for them already, but go to them. Encourage them to repent. Encourage them to return to the way of truth. Plead with them to walk in accord with godliness. And if you are the one confronted, I encourage you to repent. Don't continue to walk in darkness. Walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. He is your Savior. Honor Him. In Vista Baptist Church, let us never grow weary of doing everything that Jesus commands us, even the hard things. An unbeliever, this passage does not primarily deal with you, but it does have implications for you. You are in the same condition as the sinful hypocrite who lives in unrepentant sin. You have not wandered from the truth because you were never in it. You live as an enemy of God, and you are under His just wrath. Therefore, I encourage you, in the light of, in the witness of all these people here and God as judge, repent of your sins and trust in Jesus. Come to the one who God has offered for your salvation. Trust in His sacrifice, in His resurrection, in His salvation, and He will save you. In summary, you are not your brother or sister's creeper. You are your brother or sister's keeper. You are your brother or sister's keeper. May God help us all to engage in this work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,